know, there's a Buddhist saying that the world is on fire. And by God, it really does seem like the world is on fire, doesn't it? And I've said this a zillion times that I usually don't look at the network news, but I like to look at BBC from the United States or BBC from Japan or Germany. And it just seems to be a truer sense of what's going on. And by God, I don't know if I really want to know how much is going on in the world all the time. It isn't just in the United States. It's all over our country that there's a shift, all over the world, thank you, that there is a shift happening. And that all kinds of ill is happening. And during this time, more and more I find people coming to me and saying, you know, Reverend Crystal, whether it's in this congregation or outside, I know God is within my heart. I know God is with all around, but I'm just not feeling God anymore. I seem to have lost that connection. And I don't know what to do. And I don't know why it's happening. Well, first of all, let's say it's happening because our world is in this constant chaos. This world is forever shifting. We don't have, or it seems like we don't have, a clear foundation of where we're at. It doesn't seem like we have that cornerstone anymore that we call faith to allow us to build upon, because when everything seems to be collapsing around us, it just feels scary. And when everything seems to be collapsing around us and we call out to God and things still continue to happen this way, we tend to feel like we are separated from God. Even though intellectually we're good stewards, we're good unity students, we know that God is out there. But I give to you today, continue the knowing that yes, God is ever present within you and around you. That is a solid foundation. And the reality is God cannot not be with you. A double negative there. God is always around you and within you. There is no way that God cannot be anywhere and everywhere present. And so then the situation is us. Taking a really good look that if we are taking that investigation, if we are reaching up, in, out, down to God. Because the premise is that God is always calling us. But how many of us can truly say that we are calling to God? And I'm not just saying in the prayers, in the weariness. How many of us have an intimate relationship with the divine? How many of us can truly say, there's a story that I told a while back, and it perplexed me, and it had to have been maybe 20 years ago, that one of my teachers came to me as I was going through my trials and tribulations of my youth of about 30-something, and she came to me with a baffling question. She said, Crystal, I know that as a spiritual person, that you know that God loves you. But let me ask you this. Do you love God? And I had to stop. And I stuttered. Because the truth is, because I had to, of course I love God. And she goes, I know as a spiritual person, that is the right thing to say. But can you really say that your heart beats for knowing God better? Are you in love with Spirit? And in reality, I was like, well, how can you be in love with this grandiose thing, with this entity? Because I do believe that God is not this one person from the sky reaching down and pointing down at you and us trying to touch God that way. No. God is more sacred. God is more vast. And how can I be in love with this energy that isn't even in a physical body. I couldn't wrap my head around it. And I had to sit with that. And I believe that I am not alone. You don't have to say yay or nay. I know I was not alone in that knowing. That if I ask any of you, are you passionately in love with God as you would be passionately in love with your partner, or as you want to be passionately in love with someone or something, can you say, yes, I am? It's all right, beloveds. You are not alone. This world keeps us at odds, keeps us wanting to be separated from God, which is why we continue to feel a chasm between us and that which is always within us and around us. And because of that, part of this intimacy with God, and I love Robert Mandel's and you've heard this before, definition of intimacy is into me see. Into me see is the definition that I'm going to work with an intimacy with God. And so many times we call God to see us, to be within us, to answer our prayers, to move forward with us, to show us who we are. But how many times do we reach out and to have that beautiful communion and to see in the depths of the beloved of God? And I say the beloved because I'm using a Sufi term. How many times do we ask God, how do I get to know you? What are your ways? What are your flows? How many of us do we have an ongoing communication with God? Because intimacy truly is, and we here in the United States, we have such a skewed view of intimacy. We always go to the sexual component of it. Intimacy is far deeper than that. And it's something that we need to do that is as great as forgiveness work, and as great as gratitude work. And it is a communication, an ongoing communication with that which lives and has its being within us. How many times, and I'm not just talking prayer, I'm not talking meditation, do you go to God not to want anything except to know it better? And so that's what I'm talking about today as far as intimacy, because once we reach up and reach out to that which is there, then we will find that our connection is never gone. There is a Sufi philosopher by the name of Kobra who states that when we reach up from our souls like a flame, that the beloved reached down like an equal flame. As we reach up like the flow of water, the beloved reaches down. The flow of water. Now, I think that is poetic, but I also believe that as we reach up, as we reach to know and to move forward into the expansion of it, the reaching up isn't that God is just reaching down. The thing is that God is everywhere present. And so wherever we go, wherever we look, we will find and grab hold of the beloved. And so I would like us to expand from the idea of the biblical idea, and it is the Jesus idea, I don't want us to get away from it, of the father and child relationship. It's a beautiful relationship, that parent and child. And Jesus, in this saying and talking about it, talks about the protection, the love, and the unconditional love that a parent has for its child. But we should expand it like the Sufis. Expand it like our stories of Mother Mary. Expand it like Proverbs. And knowing that God is, and I don't want to be too, that God is the husband and we are all the brides. Each and every one of us are the brides of the beloved. In Sufism, that is why they call it the beloved. Whether it's Rumi or Hafiz or anyone, that is the passion of the poetry, is that they call forth that which is love, the lover. And ultimately, isn't that what God is the lover of all, because that is what God created. Everything is in the love. And again, when we talk about the lover, we're talking about God loving us in a passionate way and us returning that love. Even Jesus talked about in the greatest commandments, love the Lord with all your heart is the first commandment. And loving the Lord with all your heart is putting aside our selfish needs and having that communion back and forth. We are the brides, and once we figure out that God is the love that never stops, but it is a soul job. It is a job for our souls. Again, I go back to Mother Mary. If you remember back in the Bible, the metaphysical interpretation of Mother Mary, the mother of Jesus, is the soul. The soul is the feminine of us. Mother Mary is the soul that delights in the knowing of God. And with the marriage of Mother Mary and the marriage of God, what was created was splendor beyond our thoughts. What was created, we know as Jesus, yes. The living being, the living human who understood that of spirit, knew that he was more than humanity, more than human, but he was the embodiment of God. And it was through his relationship, this communion, and the knowing that he was one and the Father was one, and they were within each other, and that we were within each other, there was this constant communication. No matter what Jesus did, he constantly went inward and back into the knowing of God, whether it was miracles, whether it was questions that he asked. No matter what, Jesus was always in that one-on-one communion. Beloveds, that is the way and the means to reconnect. It isn't just groping out there wondering where God is within us. It is actively seeking to know the truth of its being. I love one of Rumi's poems. It says, with the beloved's water of life, no illness remains. In the beloved's rose garden of union, no thorns remains. They say there is a window from one heart to another. It is a window from one heart to another. But how could that be a window when there are no walls? How can there be a window when there are no walls? The reality is, beloveds, that we are the ones who create the walls between ourselves and spirit. Spirit does not. If we believe what unity teaches and proclaims, that spirit is everywhere present, within ourselves, within the pews, within the ground, within the trees, within the animals, that means that there is no separation except for that which our brains and our minds place there. And it is our minds and that have placed the wall that separate us continually from God who loves us. And it's through those walls that we are the wife that continues to go astray. God is the ever faithful lover to you. But how do we go astray? How do we go astray in our thoughts of wanting idle things? How do we go astray in our lack consciousness? How do we go astray in our ideology of other things? And yet God is there saying, I love you. Just get to know me. Just love me. Just see the magnificence that we can create together. And yet we keep looking around at every place else other than what is in front of us. What is surrounding us, what is within our hearts, what is within our body. We keep looking outside of ourselves for something new, something exciting. And again, we go further and further and further away from the beloved that is just right there saying, I love you. I am here. I love you. You don't need to suffer. I love you. You don't need to prick your hand on those thorns. I love you. There are no walls between us. There is actually no you and me. There is us. And so the pathway that we seek truly is the pathway of the divine. A pathway of knowing and losing ourselves of this world. Isn't that what Jesus talks about? Losing himself. For he is in the world, but not of the world. And he tells us that not just to say, well, I am in the world, but not of the world. He tells us that as the teacher, saying that we too need to follow his lead. Release your bed, walk. Release your ailments, walk this way. Remove all the doubts, remove all the walls, bring them down, and walk the way of Jesus. That's what we teach. And it isn't that Jesus is the only one. No. Many times we talk about in the Bible, if you really read the Gospels, Jesus is teaching the disciples to do exactly what he does so the disciples can go out and teach all of us. And the best way to do it is not just looking for God to fill us up. God is already doing that. Let us not be the adulteress. Let us now just seek the beauty and the joys of God that thrives within us, that loves us unconditionally. Let us move to loving God unconditionally. Another Rumi poem is, when the sweet glance of my true love caught my eyes, like alchemy transformed my copper-like soul, I searched for him with a thousand hands. He stretched out his arms and clutched my feet. We go groping all over the place. But God is grounding us. Is there no matter how we need God. We don't need to be idly like a child in the blindness, groping. All we need to do is just look within us and around us. And so with that, the question is, how do we do that? I leave that for next week. As we continue on about becoming more intimate with God. But wait, there's more. Thank you, Edward. And so with that, let us just breathe in the knowing and I invite you to do the fearless thing of asking yourself, how much do I love God? How much am I in love with God? And be honest with yourself. If it's, I love God passionately, amen. And if it's like, wow, I never knew how much I did not love that, no shame, no blame. It's a matter of working on it. And so this week, start the investigation within your consciousness of, do I love God? Can I love God deeper? And what's holding me back? And so with this, dear God, we thank you. We thank you for the realizations of our own limitations, and we thank you for your unconditional, passionate love for us that is never failing, that never has judgment on us, but that you are open and receptive just to be within us and to love us. So we open our hearts, we open our souls, we open our minds to your unconditional love, and we open our minds to reach and to get to know thee better. Not our will, dear God, but your will of greatness. Thank you, sweet spirit. Amen. I guess I was going kind of long on the prayer there. And so with that, let us say our affirmation, which you will also find in the bulletin, and it's up there. Let us say that together. My heart and soul desire a closer walk with God. Let's breathe that in. Let's breathe that out. And let's say it one more time. My heart and soul desire a closer walk with God. And so it is. Amen.
Amen.